WRIF-HD2 Detroit.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible!
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
On Rift 2.
Welcome to the Nerd Radio Podcast on the podcast page, WRIF.com, and on your HD radio on Rift 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. It's another week of Nerd Radio, and we are going to kick this week's festivities off with my good brother, Janelle.
Long time.
As I told you before we cut the mics on, I'm calling you Double J.
I'm going to take it.
You're the Double J that I respect, the only Double J that I recognize.
I wish I had a lot more double letters in my name.
So I know.
I could give you some ha-has.
You can always walk in the room asking people, ain't I great? You could steal that from them, too. It's Squared Circle Round Table time. We haven't talked to you since, Royal Rumble?
Yeah, it's been a minute, yeah.
So, first of all, did you check out Elimination Chamber a couple of weeks ago?
I did.
And your thoughts?
I did. I was surprised.
Yeah, okay. By what?
You know, the main event.
Really?
You know?
You didn't think Roman Reigns was going to win the whole thing?
Nope.
Really?
I mean, how can you push Braun for 2 months?
I know.
And then
kind of... It's a bummer.
Yeah. I still think it's going to end up being a three-way.
Yeah, I can only hope. I hear from the, or I read, I should say, in the dirt sheets online that the idea is they're holding Braun kind of in the wings in case this prescription drug dealer that says you can name Roman Reigns in case that blows up in their face in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's come up again, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
It has. So they're kind of holding off on what they're doing with Braun just in case they need to... kind of plug him in there,
right,
and pull Roman out.
Right, it's always safer for Brock if someone else gets pinned to take his strap
that's
away.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. That does protect Brock Lesnar. I didn't think about that.
Right,
not to mention that I'm sure Brock's not in a big hurry to get in the ring with Braun Strowman again.
Right.
Punch him in the dome.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. It was I thought the women's Elimination Chamber match was terrific.
Yeah,
you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think of what else was on the card.
Asuka and Nia Jax was real good.
It was real good.
The tag team, what was it? Cesaro and Sheamus against Titus
Worldwide. Yep.
And then Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt just sucked all the air out of the room.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they're going to have some, because you know they're going to carry it over to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But they're going to have some crazy stipulation, right? Because
right.
We've seen them do this for a couple months now.
I feel like unless the stipulation is a great war at the House Hardy, no one really cares.
That's a really good, that would be great, they Chuck,
just,
wouldn't it?
They need to go back to basics with the Matt Hardy, the broken Matt Hardy stuff, and just start filming stuff at the Hardy Ranch.
Yeah, that would be fun, because they've done it before. They ripped them off and did the New Day versus the Wyatts at the Wyatt compound.
Now you got the originator of doing this goofy stuff.
Yeah.
But shooting fireworks at a boat.
Right.
All that goofiness.
Love it.
I wanted to have you on this week, though, because not only do we have Fastlane to look forward to, but this past weekend, NXT came to town.
Man, so much fun.
And you were there.
Yeah, I was. They, it was 2 years ago that NXT first came to Detroit.
Yep.
And we went, and it was, what's cool about it is, each show now, it's a whole different roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially in 2 years.
Yeah, you get to see a different generation of NXT, you know? So the first one was terrific. I went there with my son and, you know, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, and it was all the guys that are called up now.
Asuka was probably on the roster.
She was, and Sami Zayn showed up to wrestle Ty Dillinger. I mean, it was a really good card.
Yeah.
Last night, no different. I mean, there were a couple of folks that, because I don't watch NXT on the reg, you know what I mean? I don't get to see it every week.
I don't know very many people that do.
Yeah, right. So there were some folks that you know, were new to me. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, there were some guys that came out with this gimmick. They were, I can't remember their names at all either, but they were both wearing jackets that said Brazil on the back. So I'm guessing they're doing kind of an MMA.
Okay.
You know, and the crowd started going, we don't know you.
We don't know you.
So that was,
yikes.
Yeah. But terrific nonetheless. Who did we see last night? Shayna Baszler was there.
Okay.
And, Lacey Evans and Dakota Kai, who wrestled in the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, I love Dakota Kai.
Right, and they were both up in there. Shayna attacked Dakota Kai after her match with.
I'm kind of glad I didn't go now because I might have gotten my ass kicked by Shayna Baszler.
She's such a heel, Chuck.
I know.
Oh my gosh,
I hate her so much.
Like watching her on TV, I was like, you know, we talked about it before. God, she's, you know, but even live at these live events, she's got it down being that heel. You know what I mean? Kairi Sane, you know what I mean?
Oh,
wrestled.
Yay!
Yeah, Kairi Sane wrestled Shayna Baszler, and it went Dakota Kai came out at the end to get her retribution.
Yeah.
You know? Just terrific stuff. Adam Cole wrestled.
Baby!
Wrestled before the intermission, and he wrestled. His name now in NXT is Chris Dijak, but it was Donovan Dijak from Ring of Honor.
Really?
Is an NXT dude now, apparently.
Okay.
And that was a fun match because both ROH guys, you know what I mean? So they had it going on.
Two ROH guys at a house show, essentially, so that you just tear the place down if they want to.
It was fun. It was really good. So I've seen both of them wrestle before. Efficient O'Reilly wrestled a tag team called Heavy Machinery that I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
Two bigger dudes, you know what I mean? And that was for the tag team championship, and Adam Cole came out. This Lars Sullivan fella came out. You know that dude, right? So who else? The main event was Gargano and Candice LeRae versus Andrade Cien Almas and Selena.
Okay.
So that was a fun little mixed tag team match. And
you have to believe they're like building towards doing that on TV at some point.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, I think so too. Candice, man, is just Candice and Selena is going to be the match at NXT TakeOver. You know what I mean?
You think so?
I can see it coming up at WrestleMania TakeOver, whichever one that's going to be. Orlando, I guess. Oh, no, New Orleans, I guess.
Which is interesting because it won't be like for a title or anything.
Right.
It'll just be a women's match with a story behind it. I read an interesting little tidbit somebody had posted earlier in the week that if they're building towards Bayley and Sasha at WrestleMania, this will be the first time in history a women's match at WrestleMania isn't for a title.
Really?
It's just a straight up singles women's match.
Well, that'd be terrific.
And that would be the two of them.
That'd be something else.
Yeah, that'd be something. You know, that's, I don't know, it's kind of like, not a participation award, but that's kind of like an interesting little, you know, thing to have on your resume.
It really is because they're, you know what I mean? They're who you know, those two especially.
The first women's Iron Man match, you know, kind of that first NXT.
Sasha Banks is racking it up on her resume, isn't she?
She is.
I mean, she's been a lot of firsts.
Absolutely.
She sure has. So that was really good. It was funny. They were calling Candice Wrestling, you know, they're doing the Johnny Wrestling thing.
Yeah.
They're doing the Candice Wrestling chant for her. And it was fun. I was waiting for Tommaso Ciampa. And that didn't happen. They ended it on a high note.
Right.
Without Ciampa coming up and killing them.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun. It was a great time as always. We had terrific seats. So Owen got the high five from Johnny Wrestling at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know, and he's 10, so he loves that sort of stuff.
Heck yeah. He was super into it though. Not even.
Oh man.
Did he know
chanting
a lot of the guys?
All night. You've been to a wrestling show with Owen.
Oh yeah.
Chanting all night long.
I love sitting next to Owen because he'll chant against me the whole night and it's fun.
He'll do it with whoever's around him.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
So he had a great time though.
He had a terrific time. It was a fun night out at the Royal Oak Music Theater.
That's excellent. Yeah. Excellent stuff. And we've got being on the road to WrestleMania, like I said, this next weekend is Fastlane.
Yes.
The last SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view.
Yes.
Because after WrestleMania, they will all have both brands on them for better or for worse. And the big headliner here is a six-pack challenge.
Sure is.
Now that John Cena's been added to it.
Yeah, why
against
not?
Against AJ Styles.
Why not?
What do you think? Do you think they take it off AJ? Because I feel like AJ Nakamura is a...
That's the match you want.
Yeah, that's Vince McMahon saying, look, I'm going to make you sit through Lesnar and and Reigns.
Right.
But here's something I know you really want for Wrestle Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Right, Wrestle Christmas. Yeah, I agree with you because Cena, this whole thing with Cena, it's going to come down to a last, you know, within the last month or last weeks before WrestleMania build up to what they're going to do with him. I really thought it was going to be Cena and Elias. You know, Elias attacked him at Raw 25.
Right.
They did it again a few weeks later. And I thought that was going to be the thing. It could still be, I guess.
Right.
But who knows? I mean, the Undertaker rumors are still
there. I was going to say, I don't think either of us are any other under any any indication that John Cena is going to take the belt off AJ Styles for WrestleMania, because we really want Styles versus Nakamura. But who do you think is waiting in the wings for Cena? I've heard Taker. I've heard Mysterio.
Oh, man, would that be fun?
I've, you know, who do you think?
Yeah, I guess I don't want to see Taker anymore.
No? Okay. Well, I love him. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, I love him. I do. And I don't want to see him Ric Flaired out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to, you know, he ended on such a high note at WrestleMania 24, or if I can't remember which WrestleMania it was, against Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
And then he went to TNA and it was painful watching him wrestle matches.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see The Undertaker come by. Number one, you're rusty as hell because you haven't wrestled in a year. Legit a year this time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Number two, he just, each performance gets a little, I don't want to say worse, but maybe not up to par for an Undertaker WrestleMania match.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm fine with him laying the hat and coat down last year and being done.
Yeah,
I really am. I don't. This seems like they're grasping for straws. If they pull him out, dust him off one more time,
right?
Just because Cena needs an opponent.
Yeah,
you know, build somebody up. You know,
I agree.
Have him wrestle somebody from NXT.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Something to have him give back.
Right. Well, I think they definitely they look at the Undertaker marquee match at WrestleMania as, especially now with him in the physical condition he's in, is that you got to put him in the ring with somebody he trusts and that they trust to not hurt him.
Yes.
To make him, to protect him and make him look really good.
Yeah. And Cena's safe.
Yeah. You know. That's a short list, but Cena's definitely honest.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would understand why, if we're going to do this, then it's going to be John Cena. But I agree. I think I said probably around this time last year when we were facing down another Undertaker match. I was like, man, just come back and like just manage people, like the Ministry of Darkness kind of thing. Like just come back and make Bray Wyatt scary or something, man. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be the way to do it. How much would you love it? I guess it's because I just saw the NXT event, so I'm NXT. You know, I've got NXT on my mind.
Oh yeah.
How great would it be for Cena too? Because I brought up have him wrestle for somebody for NXT. How great would it be for Cena to lose at Fastlane, not know what he's going to do the next week on TV, the following week show up at effing NXT?
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And that challenge CN or some, you know, something crazy.
That would be fantastic. You know,
that would be fun. And then Cena headlines TakeOver the night before WrestleMania.
The internet would be so angry.
They would be so mad.
They're already upset after the knowing that they're staring down the barrel of like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, which people brought up a really good point. Like if you're going to WrestleMania and you were legit upset about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get up and leave.
Yeah. That'll show them, won't it?
They'll take notice that people are leaving.
Oh my gosh. Big time. Yeah,
and
big time.
Not to mention the fact that, look, I'm not saying leave WrestleMania, but
go get, you know, go get another drink.
If you're of a mind to do this,
yeah,
you probably already have the WWE Network.
Right.
It's not like you can't watch it in the parking lot on the way out.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Or when you get back to your hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Boy, that's bright.
Because they're not going to just stop having a match because people are walking out.
That's right. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's some fantasy booking that they'll never do because they need John Cena at WrestleMania. But
right.
Whatever.
But this weekend, as we were saying, we got John Cena, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, mm-hmm. Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles, all in the ring together. That's a lot of dudes.
I'm liking Dolph Ziggler lately, you know?
He's turning into a tweener.
Yeah.
Like, he's not quite a heel, and definitely not quite a face.
Yeah, but they're really giving him a lot. Like, he's taking people out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is something that he didn't do a lot of before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice, because if you know he's a threat, you know, maybe that'll help change him a little bit and change people's opinions of him. You never know. I know New Day and Usos are going again.
Yeah, which is weird because they've been kind of having the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
Kind of on a slow boil in the background. And I wouldn't be surprised if they swap that. If they don't change that up now, the Bludgeon Brothers for the Usos at WrestleMania, that doesn't sound right.
No.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
No.
Whereas, like, this particular match, like, New Day and the Usos, tore the house down when we saw him at Hell in a Cell here in at Little Caesars Arena.
I didn't see the whole promo that they had this past week, but I liked New Day not coming out in the bright colors and just the sweatsuit.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And it was a bit more serious.
Absolutely.
Because I'll tell you what, New Day's fantastic. But it's on me, it's wearing on me.
Sometimes you got to remind people that, you know, you also can work in the ring.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So I think this will go a long way towards that because it was serious. You know,
right.
It was a serious, build up for this one, at least this past week. You know,
yeah.
It came out of kind of nowhere. But, and that's what, so I love, and Usos are my favorite tag team right now. I know, love
they're
the Usos.
So great. It's so funny how within the last, I don't know, like 2 years, 3 years, something like that, they went from the guys wearing the bright shorts and the face paint and being left Uso and right Uso to like,
straight thugs.
Day one ish.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. So that'll be a good one. Charlotte and Ruby Riott, that's fine.
Ruby Riott is the Bray Wyatt of women's wrestling.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
I love her.
Yeah, I
and
do too.
Will forever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's what the other comparison I've made to Ruby Riott. She is this generation's Natalya.
I'll take
that. She is going to make everyone she wrestles look like
good.
$1 million.
Yeah.
But she may never actually have her moment in the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, I tested that. That'd be about it because she's terrific.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Man, it'll be fine. Fastlane will be fine.
Yeah,
I just I don't think there will be a lot to be super pumped about.
Do you prefer when? Because I'm looking at like the Wikipedia page, and right now there's 4 guaranteed matches on the card, and it's a 3-hour show, so there's gonna be at least 6 if not 8 matches.
Yes.
Do you prefer when you don't know some of the matches going like that and then they can kind of throw you a curveball and surprise you, or do you like it when you know exactly what you're walking into on these events?
I guess, but the thing I'm fine with being thrown a curveball because lately, and I know I've said this to you before, within the past year, over a year for sure, I've been staying away from dirt sheets. I've been staying away from wrestling related websites and chats and all that stuff because everybody's so bitter.
It's true.
You know what I mean? And I'm enjoying being surprised again and not getting spoilers and just enjoying it for it being what it is. You know what I mean? The thing with so I love the surprises. Throw me a surprise match on there. Cool, man. I love it. But the thing is with this pay-per-view, especially, you've got 6 guys in this main event. What are your surprises going to be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The roster is almost accounted for.
Right.
You know, Naomi and Liv Morgan? I don't know. I mean, how are you going to surprise
me? Well, I mentioned the Bludgeon Brothers. They're not on the card. So who are they going to beat up?
Yeah. True fact. Right. But, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what huge surprises you can get. I think anything they pull out won't be such a surprise that you'll go, oh, it won't make the pay-per-view or anything like that.
No, not at all. It won't be like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I guess Nakamura doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah. Which is odd.
Yeah.
Except hang out backstage and wait for AJ Styles to walk by to tell him, I will beat you at WrestleMania. Yeah,
I love that. Well, Bobby Roode and Randy Orton are wrestling.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's happening.
Yup.
And then, what is it, March the 12th? We got Monday Night Raw, the road to WrestleMania coming right through here.
Indeed. Brock's supposedly going to be there.
Yeah.
I guess he showed up in Chicago last night.
We'll see Ronda Rousey, I would imagine.
Yeah, huh?
So that'll be neat.
Quickly, what'd you think about all that? It was weird at Elimination Chamber that Angle out of nowhere. It was weird to me. It was fine. I get what they're doing.
Yeah.
Angle just came out of nowhere. There was no impetus for him to start crapping on Triple H and Stephanie.
Right.
You didn't have anything the week before to instigate it. You didn't have, you know what I mean? It just came out of nowhere. He just starts telling truths.
Right.
You know, so it's weird.
It did provide last Monday night's Raw did provide like one of the greatest pictures on the face of the planet of like Triple H winding up for that punch and Angle just like staring off into space like he has no idea it's coming. It's Lucy pulling the football out from Charlie Brown, man. If you haven't seen it, definitely check out some wrestling Twitter, wrestling stuff, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey, she really can't talk, can she? I mean,
no, it doesn't seem that way.
It's not great.
Well,
it's not great.
Well, I think she needs to learn to deliver a wrestling promo.
Yes.
But you can tell that she's very excited.
Mm-hmm.
about being in the WWE, and that's good.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward. I think the match itself will be I really thought she was going to go after Charlotte. I thought that was the match.
You know what I'm most excited to see live is Braun! I must start to get these hands chant.
I love that.
It's so.
I mean, he's old man. He's you gotta put him in the mix.
He's
you
so much to. Fun. Yep. So much fun. Well, thanks for coming in as always, Janelle. We'll look forward to Fastlane this weekend,
for
and
sure.
Like I said, looking forward to Raw in a couple weeks, and then we got the big one, the big show,
one man,
WrestleMania with possibly the big show. I don't know where. All right, Nerd Radio is coming back right after this.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio, or Riff 2.
We are back with Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com, and as an added bonus, on your HD2 station, Riff 2, on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Chuck Bean, in the studio with you, with Mr. Mike Pandoff, our, I don't want to say movie guru. But you are kind of our
gopher. I pop up and I go back
down. Yeah, you're a cinephile.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yes. We were talking off the air a couple of weeks ago. You'd come up with this idea. You wanted to do a top 10 list.
Yes,
of
well, like, you know,
your favorite characters all around. I'm like, dude, the show's only an hour long. Let's cut it to five. Let's do five.
Yeah, some of our top five fictional characters.
Right, and if you guys want to chime in with some of your favorite fictional characters, or if you want to dispute some of our top five, then, I mean, feel free at Riff2Nerds on Facebook and on Twitter, as well as on Instagram. You can take a picture giving us the finger, being like, you're dumb, and we'll appreciate it, because it's interaction, social interaction. It lets us know that you were listening. So, who starts? You want to start, or you want me to start?
You can go first.
Oh, sorry, I turned it. I had the wrong mic.
It's fine.
All right. So the hardest part about this, I was telling you before we started, is not so much, wasn't so much filling out a top five and having too many characters, but it was a matter of, because I'm so into so many things, trying to figure out who is my, like, I would be like, okay, I want this comic book character, but then I need a wrestler and I need a guy from a movie and I need a guy from a cartoon or something like that. So I'm going to start with... probably the 10th Doctor.
The 10th Doctor is definitely,
I love Doctor Who, and I love the concept of how they figured out how to get a new actor into the role.
See, that's why I'm kind of like, I want to start that show, but at the same time, I'm afraid, like, I'll have to dedicate my whole life to it, but you
for
guys
sure.
love
yeah,
Doctor
no, I,
Who.
I understand that, and that's almost part of the fun, is that every time they cast a new actor in the role of the Doctor, it changes the character in some fundamental ways. So people can, like, it's literally a good starting point every time the Doctor regenerates, because you're learning a new character. The only negative is if you don't like that character well, then you're gonna be like, oh, I hate this show, and it's like, well, just stick with it. In about 3 years, that guy goes away and a new guy comes in.
Yeah, because they've gone from I remember Kilgrave. I heard Kilgrave used to be him. So yep. I kind of want to watch to see what he's like when he plays a good guy.
That's the 10th Doctor. That's David Tennant. Okay. That's right. Like they brought the show back in the early 2000s with the 9th Doctor, which was Christopher Eccleston, who ended up playing Destro in the G.I. Joe movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was the Doctor for about a year, and then he left the show, and that's when they brought David Tennant in. And David Tennant stuck around for like about 4 years and was probably many people, mine included, a favorite version of the Doctor. Matt Smith came after him, and Matt Smith was real good, but the 10th Doctor was the Doctor that I felt like I had the most grasp on who he is as a character, and he was very, he was very good. He was very, very interesting. He was definitely... There should be a brand of fiction that's like the smartest guy in the room.
All right.
Because that's what the Doctor and like another character I'll bring up later, and Sherlock Holmes is another one of those guys where he's like, he's the smartest guy in the room. And there's something about that genre that's really intriguing and fun to watch.
I totally agree.
So that's my the beginning of my top five. Who you got for your...
See, I'm going to switch up because now like I'm thinking about it. Like, I like this one character, but he'd be my six. If he wasn't my five, he'd be an honorable mention. But, I'm thinking about it. Walter White from Breaking Bad is still one of my... That is the guy who got me into watching TV shows. Just seeing the manipulation of this great father, great teacher.
Right.
And he loses... Just his downfall. By the time he loses sight by the end of the show, you're like, dude, you are... Like, he is what Vince Gilligan wanted to be. He wanted to be Mr. Brady goes into Scarface.
Yep.
And just the way Bryan Cranston just transforms, just the tones in his voice when I am the one who knocks.
Yeah, by the time he gets to the end of the show, he's very good at flipping the switch between
Heisenberg
playing the Walter White father character that he was for so many years and being Heisenberg.
And then just the way it ends, I'm not going to spoil it, even though it's been over for 5 years, but just that last shot of the show is just...
I'm very glad you didn't say that it was your introduction to cooking meth.
Oh, no.
It was your introduction to television. No,
it was my introduction to, wow, television is in its golden era, and that led me to Mad Men, and then
that was
everything.
Breaking Bad, everybody has said so, but Breaking Bad is definitely one of the most satisfying experiences television has ever given
us.
There's
like maybe one bad episode and it's really not that bad. It just holds the story down, and I think it's like in part season 4. It's called like The Fly.
I remember that.
Yeah,
it's a fun little kind of bottle episode.
Yeah, I still remember to this day was this part 2 of the season finale. Or part 1, it's right when this big shootout scene happens.
Yeah.
And it's just him ducking and it just ends and you're like,
yeah, and you got to wait till next week to find out, like,
oh my God,
how does he get out of this?
Yes, that was a great thing about that show. And Walter White, probably one of the best villains ever on television.
All right, well, I alluded to this before, but I'm going to make this guy my 4 out of my 5, because I didn't really, like, list them in order.
Yeah.
I just, like, grabbed 5 characters that I really like. John Constantine, of the comic book Hellblazer and the TV show and Keanu Reeves movie,
yeah,
Constantine. All versions of that character that they've translated. Even the Keanu Reeves is very much the character that I fell in love with watching or reading the books. And I enjoy him. He is another one of those characters that's kind of smartest guy in the room. But the real fun of John Constantine is he's not enough of a magician to not be over his head with other magicians, but he's enough of a con man to make other magicians believe he is.
Yes, that's what I've been seeing on Legends of Tomorrow.
And similarly, he's not enough of a con man that other con men can't know what he's up to, but he's enough of a magician to, you know, make them feel he's dangerous. The character he's definitely an anti-hero because he is not a good person. And part of that is because he sacrifices in the comics, especially so many of his friends, just to get himself out of trouble, whether it's with demons or magicians or, you know, even mobsters or something like that. Like he will throw a friend in the line of fire to save his own bacon. And that is not an admirable quality whatsoever. But he also has the admirable quality of, like, he will use everything at his disposal. Whether it's magic or his cleverness or whatever it is, to do the right thing for people that are his friends. The problem is, if you're his friend, you will eventually die.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's what I remember from I've only really seen the Keanu Reeves movie.
Right.
And then, like, what I've seen on Legends here and there. But yeah, to bring that up, like, yeah, Shia LaBeouf got destroyed in that movie.
Yep. The other guy, the B-man in the movie, he runs into a terrible fate. The disgraced priest,
yes.
that gets the one demon that doesn't let him drink anything and kind of
That
was horrible. Yeah, that movie is real fun. And people were real down on that movie because, like, he's not British, he's not blonde, he's Keanu Reeves. And I went and saw that movie and I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. He is every bit the character. He's just, it's like a side reality version of him where John's not British and he's in Los Angeles instead of over in London,
just
man.
Just accept his alternate worlds.
Right, exactly. So, Mr. John Constantine.
Nice.
What about you? What's he up for?
Eleanor Ripley from Alien.
From Alien?
Alien, not Resurrection. That's not Ripley, I know.
You don't count that?
What?
That one. Jeez. No, but seeing her development from the first movie, you know, it was the 70s, the sci-fi trope. They kind of made it seem like Kane was going to be the hero, the lead guy on the first ship.
Right.
I think they had a relationship. I can never really pick it out. I think they did.
Right.
But anywho, you see her go from being just this lonely woman, and then she survives on her wit and instinct, and it showed her strength. And then the second one, her going back to face her demons by going back to LV-426. And that movie, if you watch the extended cut, her finding out that her daughter died at 68 not knowing her mom was just floating out in space for 50 something years.
Sure.
And then her being able to become a mom again with new by yeah. that new one and Hicks.
Well, and the major arc of that second Aliens movie is like by the end of Alien, Ripley's tough.
Yes.
Like Ripley is a survivor. By the end of Aliens,
she's a fighter.
Yeah. Ripley's a soldier.
Yeah. That whole scene of like her just gearing up, like, I'm going to get the girl, like you packing down the plasma rifle, tying the flamethrower. Yeah. It was so great. And Aliens is probably my favorite movie of all time. I can quote that all day.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Alien Part 3, yes, I do hate that Hicks and Newt got killed off screen. And,
right.
But it goes back to the first one. That's what I kind of started to appreciate about it. Because it's the same thing. She survived this. She's going to fight it. She has no weapons.
Yeah.
So now she's going back to her wits. So like, how are we going to kill this one? While she also finds out she has a queen in her. So she makes the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
By the end of it. And you really... You just see that whole character arc. She is, I think, one of the most powerful women in cinema history. Like, if we ever did, like, top five characters of sure. women, I think she's up there with Wonder Woman. Like, they got a fight. I'm sorry. I might take Ripley in that.
right. All right. Well, that's, two each? So we got three left?
Yeah.
Let's run through them here real quick. I'd say if on the wrestling side of things, because I was telling you, I was like, what's my favorite wrestler? What's my favorite this? I would say my favorite wrestler of all time is Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
I think Triple H is a fantastic character. The writer Max Landis did like a 20-minute video called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, which is about like the history of Triple H up to about the year 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
And he explains it much more eloquently than I ever could. But the Triple H character has gone through so many iterations of the character, but none of them feel like they don't mesh. You know, like he started as this like blue blood kind of proper dude or whatever like that. And then he turned into the leather jacket, jean wearing, you know, to badass guy.
Ric Flair, Harley Race of the 2000s when he ran Monday
exactly.
Night Raw.
Like even when you see him today, like I still, he's definitely one of those wrestlers that he doesn't need a title belt.
No.
When he shows up, I'm interested. I want to know why Triple H is here and what he's going to do.
Well, you were there when he pedigreed Roman Reigns and Joe Louis, and we all popped for him saying, do it again, do it again.
Right, right. I mean, and he was supposed to be the bad guy at the time.
Oh,
and that's
God.
It's interesting. He's the bad guy, but at the same time, because it's wrestling, sometimes you like the bad guy.
Oh, of course.
So that's Triple H is definitely one of my favorite characters.
So my number three would be The Crow, the Brandon Lee playing Eric Draven in that.
That first movie?
Yeah, I feel like I talk about this movie ad nauseum. And right now, I got the Nine Inch Nails song playing in my head.
One of the best soundtracks of the 90s. I miss that nowadays.
Right?
With movies. Like, movies don't really put together a soundtrack very often.
That's how I explain to people around here. That's what got me into music was movie soundtracks, because I would hear a song, and then I would download the soundtrack, and then get really big into the band.
Right.
But the character in this movie, it's just great to see him go Brandon Lee shows so much emotion. I know the comics
for sure
a lot more, but just seeing him put from the makeup on to just like laughing and messing with the guys too, then all
right
of a sudden you got him on the roof playing the guitar solo and then crashing it and realizing, all right, we got to finish this tonight.
Right.
But the best though is the shootout scene where he just like Heath Ledger, I would have loved to ask him that question. He does the exact same thing that Brandon Lee with that whole, like, just laughing and clapping when he walks into the main room with all the bad guys on the table, just like the Joker
sure
in Dark Knight. And just the way he was just like, I just want him.
Just
jumps on the table and just points at him. And he just messes them all up. I thought, yeah, really good action scene.
It is a fantastic movie, absolutely, and in a large part because of the way Brandon Lee delivers that character.
That's why I'm kind of intrigued to see what Jason Momoa is going to do in the upcoming remake.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, my number two or number four, whichever way you want to run it, Nightcrawler from the X-Men.
Oh, yes.
Definitely the character that got me into superhero comics. There was around 1991, Marvel put out their first trading card set where you got cards that were almost like baseball cards with
mm-hmm
the characters, and then you flip them over and they'd have like power levels between 1 and 5, and they'd have a little discussion about, or a little paragraph about the character. And I remember just seeing the character with the blue skin and the red V and the black costume and the white the hands, the kind of claw-like hands. I was like, who's that guy? And then you read about him and he's got teleporting powers and He's, you know, he's German, and he's one of the X-Men. And even though he was hunted as a demon originally when in his first appearance, like he's such a happy-go-lucky character. And even throughout the years, even when there's been versions of Nightcrawler, they've, you know, when a writer has taken over Nightcrawler and kind of tried to change him a little bit. Mm-hmm. I may not like that version of Nightcrawler, but I always like, I stick around because I really enjoy the character a lot. And he has one of my favorite superpowers.
Who wouldn't want that? You could proof anywhere. Like, I feel like he would be unstoppable in a fight. Yeah. I didn't think about that. He does have the best X-Men scene, minus Quicksilver from X2 with the White House scene. How he just...
That is really neat.
Dude, the way they shot that scene to this day.
Yeah, that is really cool. And as much as I did not enjoy X-Men Apocalypse, I would watch that movie again just because there's young Nightcrawlers in that movie.
Right.
And I dig him.
So my number two, even though you don't watch the show, maybe Amy would agree with me, Jon Snow.
Game of Thrones?
Yes, Game of Thrones. His character arc, like, as you notice, I like seeing development. Like, Al was making fun of me about that character development. He went from, like, this quiet, kind of spoiled bastard in the show, because he's Ned Stark's bastard, by going to the thing. But you keep seeing his leadership growing. It's kind of like, he kind of has, like, the Anakin thing going the first two seasons. Like, he's rushing. He wants all this stuff. But his lord and commander's got to be like, no, you got to learn how to do this. You can't be a ranger. You're going to be my steward, because you're going to take over once I kick the can. And by season six... I don't know if you've seen the shot, but there's this great battle scene, and he goes rushing into battle to save his brother, and he realizes, like, his brother dies, his horse gets hit by an arrow, and he's in this field by himself, and you got probably 300 men charging at him.
Okay.
And he just does the pose where, like, pulls out his sword, drops the belt, and he's like, well, if I'm gonna die, I'm just gonna...
He's gonna go down fighting.
Oh, it's just what... And the music hits, but he is probably one of the best characters on the show, minus Peter Dinklage, but I just think he's a badass, and I would love... I don't know.
That's cool.
So I can ramble on for days.
You go. I was gonna say, just on that, like, now maybe I will check out Game of Thrones. No, I don't have that kind of time. I can't. I don't have that kind of time. All right, my last character, if we're talking about our top five characters of all time across fiction, would have to be Optimus Prime.
That's a good one.
I am a huge Transformer nut, have been since I was a little kid. Optimus Prime is he's robotic Superman, dude. He's the red, silver, and blue. He turns into a big truck. He always does the right thing. Even the Michael Bay movies,
they do them right.
There's versions, there's things about Michael Bay Optimus Prime that is not my Optimus Prime, but he's still trying to do the right thing given the circumstances he's got. And across, there's been so many versions of Optimus Prime.
I remember Ape Optimus Prime when they were...
There was
animals.
Optimus Primal. Yep, in the Beast Wars. There was an animated Optimus Prime. There was Transformers Prime, which came out around the time the movie started. And there was Optimus Prime in that. You know, the video games, the comic books. He's a consistent character. And I think a large part of why I love the character is because for most of the time that character has existed, he's been voiced by the same guy, and his name's Peter Cullen.
Oh.
And he just... That's... I hear that voice, and I get a warm feeling. It's funny, there's a video on YouTube from a convention where a little kid is with his dad, like a four-year-old or something like that, and they're doing a Q&A with Peter Cullen, and they ask him, you know, can you speak to my son as Optimus Prime? And he's like, Joshua, this is Optimus Prime. Make sure you're good to your father. Optimus Prime loves you. And it was just amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I know, it melts my heart.
All right, my number one, I don't know if I've told you this, but one of my favorite shows of all time, and I really got back into it recently, thanks to Team 4-Star, is Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
And Vegeta.
Yeah.
Vegeta, the Prince of Saiyans, he is one of the most...
Who starts as a bad guy.
Yeah, but when you think about it, he just wanted vengeance from his dad because Frieza killed his dad and all these people. But yes, he was a bad guy. And just like Constantine, he becomes that anti-hero where, like, he won't necessarily do the right thing, but when he does, it's because of his friends or his loved ones.
Right.
He became my favorite character during the Cell Saga when Trunks gets blasted in the chest, and he finally... Because the whole show, he's just ignoring Trunks, his son.
Right.
And then he just unleashes hell on Cell. But he's never the strongest, except for in Super now. He's finally getting up there. You keep seeing him develop more and more. And I don't know, the voice, too. He's got that. Just he the does way he says great, Kakarot. Yeah.
No, he does have a great voice. I think it was either last year or the year before that he was at Motor City Comic Con. I got to talk to him for about 5 minutes.
Chris Sabat?
Yeah. Oh. That guy's voice is pretty great.
Yes. And also, I like the iteration of him in Team Four Star Abridged. It's a comedy parody.
Those are fantastic.
Oh, I was telling Amy about that. I'm like, you have to watch this, especially just Vegeta's one.
Especially for a show like Dragon Ball or Naruto, where it's like, I was joking that I don't have the kind of time for Game of Thrones. I said Dragon Ball was one of those first shows that years ago I watched like a couple episodes of Dragon Ball Z. I was like, I don't have this kind of time.
Well, yeah, because for five episodes they're just powering up and talking trash, and then the fight goes on for three more and you're like, wow, okay, well, you know what, that's why there's 126 episodes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yes, Vegeta, Prince of All Saiyans, will always be my favorite anti-hero.
Awesome. Character. Well, it was cool to do this list with you. We'll have to maybe update this list in a year or two, see if it changes at all.
Oh well,
considering all the movies and stuff that we get to check out.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to talk about Wasp and Black Panther too eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are on the way. All right, Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Nerd Radio returns right after this.
This is Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
I won nothing. I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. Welcome to Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com, and on your HD radio on Rift 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Chuck Bean.
And Jefferson Moore.
Hanging out with you. Man, it's almost like we planned that.
Yeah,
that
right?
That was real professional.
Yeah, you guys very know cool. We never plan anything.
You know what's going to be better is one of these days we're going to do each other's names.
Oh, shoot. Like,
you want to try it?
Okay.
Okay. Welcome to Nerd Radio right here on the podcast page, WRIF.com. Your hosts?
Chuck Bean.
And Jefferson Moore right here. It was close. It was real close.
Yeah, it was close. Sorry. It was just a little bit of an overlap. And
you couldn't, I guess you couldn't.
We'll do it next week. Don't worry about it.
Recreate that magic. But yeah, we'll try. Well. We'll practice.
Yeah, okay.
We swear. We'll practice.
Definitely.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, me and Jefferson hanging out, we talk about all types of things, comic books, video games, and anime.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Hey, that's the tag for the show!
It is!
Well done, sir. I spoke last week about, you know, when I was down with the flu a couple weeks ago, I caught a bunch of stuff on Netflix. I've tried out a couple of episodes of anime in the last month or so, and I wanted to run them by and see if we've watched the same stuff or not.
Okay.
Did you see, I think it was last month, Netflix put up Devilman?
I've heard things about it. Yeah. I've not watched it myself.
Devilman Crybaby? Very adult.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Lots of sex and violence in that show, which the original comics, the mangas or something like that, were kind of racy anyway. Mm. So it wasn't super surprising to find out about that. But while I was watching, I was still a little taken aback with like how quickly it delves into naked ladies and tentacle monsters.
Oh, great.
And I was like, whoa! But, you know, if that's your kind of thing. The animation on it, I gotta say, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth watching at least one episode of it just animation-wise. Just to see it, because it was very cool. We've talked very briefly about this particular guy, Junji Ito. He is a manga author that does nothing but horror comics.
Okay.
And his horror comics are the
pretty
best.
Pretty terrifying.
The best. They just started, I remember seeing that this was going to be coming out, and now that, you know, Crunchyroll is into the winter season of anime, there's the Junji Ito collection that takes like two of his stories in every episode and animates them.
Ooh.
And I love it, but I also cannot watch it if I need to sleep at any point in the next 6 to 12 hours.
And I believe that sleep is pretty important to you, so probably not very often.
Yeah, no, I've gotten to watch like exactly one episode, but I was like, this is everything I wanted when I saw that this was going to be a thing. This is what I want.
And that's on Crunchyroll?
That's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so
I need to check that out.
Yeah, no, I was real psyched about it.
And you know that when the October months come by again, we're going to be talking all about that again, too.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that, you know, with anime, they have like a winter season, a summer season. Hmm. Like they have new anime for pretty much every particular season, even spring and fall, which is really fantastic. But specifically October, we talk about this stuff a lot because Yumacon. I love Yumacon so much.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
It is. It's a blast. You were telling me off mics, that's why I wanted to talk about this, that you wanted to talk about a specific anime.
Yeah. So I don't know if we've talked about it on the show yet. Attack on Titan? Is that ringing any bells?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think within our first year, we had talked about it because I fell in love with the abridged Attack on Titan. That was
my gosh. Yeah.
It was hilarious. But I haven't watched anything past the first season.
Yeah. So the second season came out on Netflix and definitely Crunchyroll, and I think also Hulu.
Okay.
So you got all kinds of options. If you got any of those streaming services, you're all set.
Right.
And it's really good. And
do they answer any of the questions?
Well, in that season, they answer a couple more, and they kind of hint at a couple more.
Sure.
And I got to give my props to my buddy Tim, who we've had in the show a couple times.
Absolutely.
When he was in Spain, he's like, dude, you got to read the manga, because it goes further into it. And all those questions that you keep on asking yourself about the show?
Right.
It answers all of them. And I'm like, all right, sure. But I've been really busy, so I like keep on putting it off. I'm like, all right. And then he's like, dude, if you do not continue reading the manga, we are no longer going to be friends. And I'm like,
rude.
Well, geez, I guess I'm going to have to read them then.
Have you ever gotten to make that kind of demand for him?
No.
If you don't do X, we're not friends anymore.
Maybe I have. It was probably something. If you do not give me a potato chip right now, we're not friends.
If you don't continue to listen to Nerd Radio, we're not friends anymore.
Because that's the kind of friendship that we have. But if you have one of those friendships, hold on to it tight. Because
it's special. It's real
it's
special.
Yeah, but anyway, he convinced me to read it, and I stopped reading. I think,
well, there's two different series of manga. There's like the series that follows the timeline of the show, and then there's like a series that's supposed to be like a prequel series.
I believe there's a couple of them.
I think it's called like Before the Fall or something.
Yeah like I don't have Crunchyroll and the manga reader on that, so I just looked it up online, and they have a couple of really good readers out there.
Yeah.
And like when I looked it up, like Attack on Titan, the first thing that pops up is not Shingeki no Kyojin.
Okay.
I think that's my sorry attempt at speaking Japanese.
I was going to say, we've got like one or two Japanese listeners right now that are being like, he don't know what he's talking about at all.
Anyway, it's exactly translated to Attack on Titan, but that's what the manga is called. And but when I typed in Attack on Titan, three other things popped up that were not that. So I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for. And I remember that I read the manga ahead a ways when it first came out. And then I just kind of stopped, and I forgot why, but I did. I stopped because that was the end of it, actually. Like, I read up to the end.
Right, at that point, that was all there was of it.
Yep, and I just kind of lost interest after that until Tim calls me up and says we're not friends anymore, so.
It's interesting to me because I remember, like I said, watching the first season when it was on Cartoon Network,
mm-hmm.
when they put it on there, and then seeing, you know, the abridged version. And the show strikes me almost like an anime version of Lost.
Okay.
Because right from the get-go, like for those that haven't watched the show, right from the get-go, there's a city and it's protected by walls, and they don't tell you why the walls are there. And then like this giant monster shows up.
Mm-hmm.
It's humanoid monster. It's not like Godzilla or something like that. But this giant monster shows up, blows through the walls, and these smaller monsters come in and just start eating people. And they have to retreat into a further section of the city.
Yeah, it kind of just throws you into the action right away.
It does, and you spend a lot of that first season watching the group of main characters learn to be the I don't remember what they call them, but the military force,
scouting regiment.
There you go.
Yeah, and so they're training to use these really cool 3D maneuvering gear.
Yeah,
which is,
they get these things that they have these belts that they have that allow them to like swing around like Spider-Man. And,
essentially, yeah.
And they got these cool swords that they're supposed to get up behind the Titan and like slice behind their neck.
Because that's the only way to kill them, because Titans themselves, the main antagonists essentially of this entire thing, is they're crazy big And that's like the scariest thing about them. They're terrifying because they eat people, mm-hmm. and they're just this inexorable force.
Yeah, like you can't do, you can fire cannons and guns and stuff at them, but they it just kind of bounces off. They don't really take a bunch of damage.
The only way you can really kill them is to cut the nape of their neck, and like they regenerate every other limb that comes out, and it's ridiculous how resilient these things are, in addition to being gigantic and terrifying.
But right from the get-go, they don't tell you what the Titans are or where they come from. And
they
that's kind of an underlying thing for the whole series. Like even towards the end of season one, which I don't want to spoil, but when you find out that a couple of the characters are also Titans, and you're like, well, how is that possible? And they don't answer that question.
Oh, they answer the question later on though.
See, that's why I was asking. Cause like, that was the thing. Well, I remember watching Lost, which Jesus was probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right. A decade. Yeah.
That reminds me of something I'll tell you in a minute. But like part of the fun of Lost was the questions. Once they give you the answers to questions, it was like the answer was never as cool as what you thought it was going to be.
Oh, well, you know, well, and from the very beginning, you get the impression that Aaron, the main character's dad, is a very important character in all this because it's hinted that he knows something about the Titans that no one else really does. And from the very first episode, he's like, I'm going to show you into the basement of our house where I have all the information that it's going to be really important.
Right.
And then the monster attacks. And guess what? That basement is no longer
there. So all the information.
Well, it's still there, but it's completely unreachable because there's like 500,000 Titans.
There's a bunch of Titans in the middle of that part of the city, mm-hmm. and the house has been destroyed. So you'd have to unbury it. So.
Pretty much, yeah. So,
did they ever like get the idea to go back?
Well, that's been a pretty consistent thing throughout the series. Like, they're like, okay, we got to go back here because that's where all the answers is. And like the fact that they keep on like, okay, what's in the basement? Like they keep on teasing that little fact right there.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, well, freaking, if it's not everything I hope it is going to be, then it's going to be super disappointing.
Yep.
And I got to say, once they got to, once I got to the part where they go into the basement, there's like a couple of journals and they explain everything and I was not disappointed.
Ooh,
even
excellent.
Though they built it up so much, which is like really...
Does this happen just in the manga or was this in the second season?
This
of the
is
anime?
Just in the manga.
Ah.
Although I gotta say like they covered a lot of material in the first season. They covered like just as much material in the second season.
Right.
So,
which makes you wonder because they did that with Naruto when it came out, like the manga had a head start and the first couple of seasons like really blew through all the manga stuff. And then they had to make up new stories while they were waiting for more of the manga to come out.
Fillers. Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of
not happy. Yeah,
that's kind of the problem with, that's a problem that Attack on Titan has been having quite a bit because there's just the material gap.
Yeah.
In fact, funny story about that, when Madhouse, the production company that makes Attack on Titan, was waiting for the second season to come out, they're like, well, we're freaking bored and we have this interest and we got to keep people sated.
Right, you don't want people to just be like, oh, remember Attack on Titan? Yeah, that was the thing I was into 2 years ago and I'm past it now.
So they came out with Attack on Titan High School.
I was going to ask you about that because I've seen that where they like all the characters are cute and chibi and it's like just a high school drama.
Oh yeah, I saw an episode and it was unwatchable. I mean, the animation was by the same company so it was still good.
Right.
But it was chibi and it was...
Yep. It's just cute.
It's
just made to be cute. And Attack on Titan is not cute.
The opposite, the antithesis, I would even say, of cute.
For sure. Absolutely. We probably talked about it the last time we talked about anime, but have you seen any of Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid?
I've heard a lot about it.
Because it's on Crunchyroll. Yeah, and it's a big deal. Like a lot of cosplayers are doing the Dragon Maids and stuff. And it's real cute. A dragon. Miss Kobayashi is this computer programmer and she gets super drunk one night and comes upon this dragon that has a sword stuck in it.
Huh.
So she takes the sword out of the dragon and then she wakes up the next day and the dragon has morphed itself into this cute little maid girl and is attached to her. And was like, I want to live with you and be your maid. it goes from there. More dragons show up in human form and hang out with them. And it's cute.
it's cute, but at the same time, like most of those types of anime, there's some kind of underlying dark story going on.
Oh, yeah. You
know, like, why doesn't everybody know about dragons? Well, there's a reason for that.
Oh, gosh. Probably because they eat people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what you start to see is like dragons don't always get along with everybody. Mm. So what are you going to do? But yeah, that's our anime picks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Currently, right now, I'm going to have to check out the second season of Attack on Titan now.
Second season's great. I got to say, if you're going to read the manga, which I highly recommend, there is a dull part in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm not going to say unreadable, but it was hard to read.
See,
unfortunately.
I'm kind of sacrilegious when it comes to anime or mm-hmm. you know, Japanese manga in that form, is that if there's a manga and an anime, like, say, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, just as soon watch a cartoon.
Okay, that makes sense too. But just trust me, stick through it. As soon as they go to retake Walmaria, crap gets real. You're definitely going to want to read it. So,
all right, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And hopefully, season three is going to come out maybe.
Yeah, relatively soon.
Soon, maybe. All right. Hopefully.
Sounds good.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
But at the same time, there's so much stuff that I want to see that I never have.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Going back and rewatching something, unless it's MASH or Star Trek, I've
I'm like, okay, you're like the poster boy for rewatching stuff. So
only if it's, you know, again, those two shows for the 8 millionth time.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Shut up. You've been listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast. Each week, the podcast can be found on our website, WRAF.com, and on iTunes, Nerd Radio on Rift 2. The show airs live Wednesday night on Rift 2 and your HD radio at 101.1 FM HD Radio 2 and features music not heard during the podcast. Contact us at Rift2Nerds on Facebook and Twitter and email the show at Rift2Nerds@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast.